Hi, how are you, Felix? Good
I'm
to
going
talk
very
to
well, thanks. So,
you.
what is virtue signaling?
Good. Virtue signaling as a term is only something I've actually come up with from reading popular media and popular journalism on issues of political engagement and social media. From my own research and in my own research based on many interviews and a lot of time spent with participants and looking at their social media engagement more generally, as well as their political engagement, and by looking at the research on social media and its role in activist movements, virtue signaling is not a very popular term that has appeared often. So what it means, I think, is that when people sort of visibly show on social media platforms that they align with a cause, or they express in a very kind of vocal way their moral opinions about certain causes. And the implicit, I suppose, well, not so implicit, the message is one of, what the criticism is, the message is one of self-aggrandizement, where I align with this moral cause, so that makes me a good moral self because I'm showing that so visibly.
So in the context of recent events, being outspokenly anti-racist over just non-racist has led to critical labels like social justice warrior. But where is the problem in fighting for social justice? Isn't there inherently a good intention, a good purpose behind social justice? When did it go into being something negative?
Absolutely. And that's a really good question, and I'm really glad you asked, because I think what was so saturating about this debate in the last week, well, 2 weeks now, since the killing of George Floyd, the posting of black squares in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, even though they were separate kind of instances, the division is very much one of either or. You're either on social media, posting on social media, engaging with social media, or you're out on the street physically protesting. And both of those examples of political engagement have been under scrutiny right now. And I really want to stress this, because the context that they're happening in globally is so intimately intertwined with COVID-19 lockdowns and people's experiences. So the division of either or is a dominant discussion. But off the back of COVID-19 lockdowns, I think people generally want to feel like they have options in a time of uncertainty, in a time of uncertain futures, economic recession. People need to feel like they have options, and that is especially true of political engagement. So I would really like to provoke a bit more of discussion in the media and in popular conversation that it's not just posting or just physically attending protests. There's a lot of action happening in between.
Yeah, I think particularly one thing that I've not seen raised, I guess enough, at least in my opinion, is that it seems to be, as you say, either or of posting on social media or demonstrating physically. And a lot of those opposed to the protests, opposed to the slacktivism or virtue signaling, of saying that, you know, perhaps you should actually be calling your local members. Perhaps you should be getting involved in the political processing, you know, using the system to your advantage rather than fighting it. Do you think that that's a valid approach, a valid criticism? You know, why isn't that as popular as the other two methods you've outlined?
Sure, that's fantastic, because there are two big issues there that speak to individuals' engagement with activism, but also individuals' engagement with daily life. The first one being political engagement is a spectrum of invisibility to visibility, with demonstrations and protests being the most visible form of activism that one can do with their person, with their body. That's been a long-standing theme in a lot of political theory, a lot of political discussion, that is, so physically attending protests and using one's body as an instrument of activism is a very powerful tool, and often it is the most visible means that people have in the current state of biopolitics in different countries. And social media seems to be positioned as the antithesis of that. People can sort of sit, people can post and click, but social media, as we've seen, and I would actually say this very contentious thing, conveniently framed, social media has been seen as the most powerful form of visibility. It's actually one of the most, you know, salient criticisms of the President of the United States at the moment in the ways that he uses Twitter and how he uses Twitter to use this ability to detract from other issues. So on the one hand, you're dealing with two forms that deal with visibility and hyper-visibility. So it's almost part of like the dragon eating its tail, but they have very different roles in the timeline of activism for social change, which brings me to my second point, that individuals, all individuals are representatives of many categories in society based on structure. And this is race, class, sexuality, and their experiences are reflective of these in combination. So the way that individuals activate, are activists, or compel action are often seen in isolation when their very experiences that shape their decisions to form different kinds of political engagement are based on these structural categories. So it's, for many people, it is not either or in terms of go to a protest or post on social media or call your local leader. Many people, especially gender, class, sexuality, many people do not get to engage with these kinds of visible forms of political engagement without consequences to themselves or others. And we're not talking about judgments and individual judgments here of family members say this or friends say this. I mean actual forms of structural exclusion. And I think that also needs to be brought into the current discussion in this spectrum of visibility to invisibility of political action.
Yeah. So obviously we're talking a lot here about the actions that people are taking and, you know, the path on their political activism. But how do we make sure when we are online or when we're out in person practicing these good intentions, these actions to try and be a political activist, how do we make sure that those have impact rather than just being, you know, a token gesture?
I think this comes back to the point of attending a protest in person or posting on social media, not being acts in isolation. Personally, and having researched different kinds of social media activism now, this is frightening for nearly a decade. The timeline of activism for social change is a long one. It's a long game. And for many people who have engaged with different causes, often it takes up a whole life stage from youth to middle age, from late teens to early 20s. And what I feel positive about the current circumstances that is being so different to some of the circumstances I've seen before is, again, this inseparability or this ability to not being able to separate the current conversation from COVID-19 lockdown. A lot more people are having different kinds of political conversations with their friends, with their family, posting on social media. And I also want to stress that globally, a lot of the people who posted on Blackout Tuesday or around Blackout Tuesday were from countries where structural racism is a huge problem, places like Brazil, for example, that's got its own legacy of racial inequality. And where also English is the second and sometimes third language. So where the algorithms don't get to do the work that they're supposed to, it's not necessarily because of the fault of the individual not posting the right hashtag, despite good intentions. Algorithm's point. The range of political conversation people are having right now are quite wide. So people who haven't posted before are posting. And what I feel positive about is that these kinds of conversations, hopefully the listening, the absorbing with different kinds of media, art, literature, from whether it's from presented by Indigenous Australians or African Americans, I would like to think people's repertoire of what they're exposed to is a lot higher at the moment due to coming out of lockdowns or having been in lockdowns, and that these kinds of engagements will translate to different kinds of political engagement in the longer term.
Yeah. Well, Jelena, thank you so much for joining us on Drive. I think you've made some excellent points here. And I mean, for me personally, clarified particularly the importance of that, you know, the Ouroboros of social media and physical activism. That's a point I hadn't really considered before.
I've been thinking a lot about this in the last 2 weeks.
as we all have.
Yeah. But yeah, people, yeah, from reading and watching information entertainment, I mean, if people can't donate, for example, right now, look up the organisations who, I'm speaking specifically about the Australian context, look up organisations who are doing amazing work with Indigenous Australians. If you can't donate to them, look at what they do, hear their stories, look at the people who they work with. And I think just that sort of familiarising is one step in the larger strategy towards social change.